Because Israel hasn't been a nation for almost 2,000 years until 1948. But then, on the other hand, you think, what is his parable? What's he saying? When the branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. I mean, when you see the fig tree begin to blossom and put forth its tender branches and leaves, you know, oh, summer's coming. So we also, when we see these things come to pass, you know that it is near, even at the doors. Meaning, when we see the abomination of desolation, it's like the leaves of the fig tree springing forth. When you see these things, he didn't say, when you see Israel become a nation, though it might have a secondary meaning in that. I won't totally take that away. But I tell you, primarily, he's speaking of the signs he just talked about. When you see these signs come to pass, then you know that it's near. What sign? The abomination of desolation, that's basically it. That's the biggest sign he gives. And the falling away is sort of codified in this. Lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there. False Christ and false prophets doing many signs and miracles, wonders. They're going to do signs. It says in the book of Revelation, they're going to call down fire from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. It's going to be very impressive what the Antichrist is able to do. He's not going to appear to be a mere man. He may not even be a mere man. He may be an angelic being, which would really screw things up, as far as that's going to be pretty convincing to most people. But don't assure yourself saying, well, I know that. Therefore, I don't have anything to worry about. I'll just go on and sin, and then when it comes time, I'll straighten up. Tell you what, watch how Peter believed in Jesus. He denied him 3 times. You don't know what you're capable of till that time comes. So I suggest we get to work. You want to serve God? You need to exercise yourself. You need to prepare yourself. You need to become skillful in the word of righteousness. You've got to become an able swordsman with the word of God. You've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, your loins girt about with the truth, and your feet shod with that gospel that brings peace, righteousness, peace, the Holy Spirit. All these things we need to have, and we need to be accustomed to it. You know, when David went out to fight Goliath, he tried to put on the armor of Saul, but he was not comfortable in it. He had not proved himself in it, so he didn't want to go out and fight in it. I tell you, if you go against Satan without the armor of God on, you're going to be defeated, because you're not David, and you're not going to be able to leave it behind. If you are not accustomed to wearing that breastplate of righteousness, you're going to find that it's way too heavy for you to wear. You're not going to be able to do battle. I promise you that. So let's get to work now. Let's prepare now while we still have time. The end times haven't come yet, and thank God for that, because I'm not ready. And I pity those who, there will be many who are not ready when it comes. I could think, if it had come when I was young, when I wanted it to come, I would have been destroyed for sure. And I mean, I would have fallen. Like Peter, he knew who Christ was. He denied him because he wasn't equipped. Darkness was over his eyes. He slumbered, he slept, he was sleeping on his feet. I don't blame him, it was what he was at that time. In the end, though, he died. It was given to him to suffer for his name's sake. Not just to believe, and he was able to be baptized with the same baptism, to drink of the same cup. It's what we should all want as Christians. This generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Does he mean his generation then? He's being somewhat, obviously it didn't happen. That's somewhat conditional on their receiving him as Messiah, I suppose. That's been suggested. But he probably means the generation that sees those things. The generation that sees those leaves shoot forth. Some people says it means that the generation that saw Israel become a nation. I don't know. I'm not into those sort of things. Though, I'd like it to come when I'm around 50 or so. I feel I'll be ready. But whatever generation it comes in our generation, we must prepare. Because even if we die, that's the end of the world for us. And I want to have been ready so that I could have served no matter what happened. I want to be ready to the very end. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And what he's saying is the firmness of my words is absolute. My words are absolute. You could have the whole earth and heavens disappear, but these words are not going to disappear. They're true. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. You don't know. We don't know. If you believe in Christ, you know his words are sure. And this will come to pass. But the time and the season, he didn't even know. But he gives us this vague, a far journey. One time I said to an atheist, it's like, well, the reason Jesus hasn't returned in 2,000 years is because he was as a man taking a far journey. He's like, well, if a master took a far journey, you'd expect he would return in your lifetime. And I thought that was a pretty good point. And the apostles did expect Jesus to return in their lifetime. And I expect him to return in my lifetime. And every generation of Christians ought to expect him to return in their lifetime. That's, he left it purposely vague to cause doubters to doubt and fall away. And to cause those who have faith to really have faith. And if it seems like a weak argument, that's fine. Because parables are weak things. Because the weak things of God are stronger than the strongest things of men. And eternal life is not for everyone to inherit. And God erects barriers and things that are hard to keep, hard to understand, and hard to believe. So if you can believe, blessed is your heart, for it believes the gospel. Blessed is your mind, for it understands Jesus Christ.